When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Turn around and look at the damn camera, Mad Dog Russo, when I'm talking to you. You don't turn away in the cold open and be talking to somebody else. You got to be ready. It's 10 a.m. your time. It's 7 a.m. my time. I know it's L.A. I know because I'm 3 hours behind. You thought I wouldn't have the energy for you, but you were talking smack. You got me woken up 3 hours ago. I'm ready, baby. I'm ready. I feel sorry. I feel sorry for what's coming your way. Jay Williams, what's up, baby? I like the hoodie with the blazer. Everybody can't rock that with the shaved head and all of that stuff, but you pulling it off. Congratulations. Congratulations. First take is in the house. Fix your face, doggy. You in a world of trouble. Whoa! Let's go.
Good day. What's going on, everyone? Welcome into First Take. Thank you for being with us. Happy holidays. I feel like we're in the spirit. We're in the home stretch, right?
No, we
it's
are.
It's Wednesday.
Love
we
the
got Christopher
today,
Mad Dog Russo. It is a little festive.
Today. Yeah, I like
but
this.
Maybe a little more New Year's.
Okay, that's fine,
you know,
though.
Whatever.
Bridging
that
the
black,
gap.
That black? That
yeah.
Black,
yes.
That,
yeah.
That's the Black Widow look. That's the Black
Hi,
Widow
Steven.
Look.
Hi, Steven. Good morning.
The Black Widow.
What's going on? How's your morning going in L.A.?
I'm good. Life is
all right. All right, that's good to hear. Jay Will's in the building.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh, by the way, just so you know, before Doggy opens his mouth.
Yeah.
Brick has been summoned to Port Charles.
Oh, here we go.
General Hospital. That is why I'm out here. You know what I'm saying? I got to go and tape some scenes today. But, you know, Brick has been summoned to General Hospital.
What's Brick? Hold on.
What's the role today?
Yeah, what's Brick doing in these scenes? Like, I need a teaser.
Brick is a surveillance expert for the mob.
I know that.
For the mob.
Last week when I was saying you for the mob. Pow, pow. Yeah.
But the point, hopefully you ain't shooing like that in the mob.
Thanks for clearing up what the mob is for us.
You know what I'm saying? But last week, you know, they wanted to, you know, set up the love interest, you know, for Brick. So we got that going on.
He's been saying the love interest for like 10 years.
And today is a mob scene. So, you know, okay. Brick's in the house with sports.
As long as the love interest don't be happening on Sundays for you, I'm okay with that.
No, not on Sundays.
I heard about your Sundays.
That's not the day.
You got to ask him.
Molly, she'll catch up. The Stephen A. Smith Show, Molly.
You don't watch the show? This man is on my feed all day long.
I got to talk football because there's a lot to get into there as well.
Let's do it.
Just kidding. We're
Hi,
starting
doggy.
In basketball.
Hi, doggy. Oh, doggy. I'm sorry, I did it wrong.
I did it wrong, doggy.
This is how you do it, doggy.
He's excited.
That's what doggy does.
He's excited about General Hospital and his love interest.
Oh, my goodness. He's got a little life.
He's ready to go.
You and I have talked that it's a major problem. He's just dead as a doornail when he's out there. You called me last night. Let's keep him awake today.
Yeah, I did.
And I took care.
I called him.
Just make sure you say love interest on Sundays. Get it all come together for you soon.
I'm going to be Google searching as soon as I'm done teeing up this topic. Don't you worry. This dude. Yeah. All right, let's go. Ja Morant returned to the court on Tuesday after his 25-game suspension, finishing with 34 points in the game-winning buzzer beater in a 115-113 win against the Pelicans. Ja is back, folks, and he is better than ever. Oh, and did I mention he's keeping receipts?
Ja running off the floor, someone caught you on camera saying, I keep receipts.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? And secondly, what was your meeting?
I feel like it's self-explanatory. Yeah, I remember everything that was said.
All right, LeBron impressed with Ja's debut as well, tweeting this out after the game. Stephen A., how impressive is Ja?
Well, the brother's a superstar. All right, so it's not surprising. If you remember, Molly, go back to the tapes, the First Take, when I talked about him, and I said from the very beginning, when this brother comes back after a 25-game absence, he is going to wreak havoc. This is a superstar caliber player. He's unstoppable. You can't stop him from getting into the lane. He can do that when he wants to. I'm just looking at some of the notes here. 50% shooting, 12 or 24 from the field, even though he missed all of his threes, probably because he was winded. 8 assists, 6 rebounds, although 5 turnovers in 35 minutes. Who cares about that? Look at his points in the second half. After 7 points in the first half, 27 points on 56% shooting. Scored 8 of Memphis's 12 clutch points, 12 points in clutch time. You just look at it from that perspective. I don't know why the hell Willie Green kept putting Herbert Jones on him. I don't understand that one, but that's a different subject for another day. But Ja Morant is absolutely sensational, and not only that, he's mission-minded. He's on a mission. He knows it's his fault that this team is in a 6-19 hole coming in the last night's game. He knows that if he was on that floor, they wouldn't have been in that situation. So he could talk about keeping receipts all he wants to. Jay Williams, Mad Dog Russo, I'm going to tell you who he should be keeping the receipts against. When he did his press conference on Friday, okay, he talked about how he hadn't spoken to any players. Nobody caught them. That's what he said. I don't know how accurate that was, but considering the quote-unquote brotherhood that is supposed to exist in the NBA, Jay Williams, and I'll defer to you, but considering the brotherhood that is supposed to exist, for you to be suspended for 25 games for nobody on any level in the NBA to reach out to you, check on you, see how you doing, the whole bit. As far as I'm concerned, those are the receipts he should be keeping. In terms of the media, listen, you did what you did. It was in the news. The commissioner suspended you. You verbalized mea culpas. Whatever receipts that you keep, and it shouldn't be with anybody, any pundits or commentators on the air. It should be with the cats that never called to check up on you. You should be taking it out all on them because Memphis needs you to in order to get back into the playoff picture, which I believe he will do. I believe that Memphis will find themselves overcoming the 6-19 hole because of Ja Morant, and they'll make it to the play-in game, and they'll make it to the playoffs because of that, brother. That's how great he is.
Stephen A., before I address everybody, I just want to hear Ja Morant say that one more time. Can we play it back, please?
I can't receive, dude! I can't receive!
Ja running off the floor, someone caught you on camera saying, I keep receipts.
Yeah.
Can you elaborate on that? And secondly, what was your
meeting? I feel like it's self-explanatory. Yeah, I remember everything that was said.
I hope he wrote down every name of every individual, media, player, whatever Ja Morant needs to do. You know why, Stephen A.? Because you and I are both in the same boat. We want to see Ja Morant win as a human being. Mm-hmm. I want to see him win. I don't want to hear anything else about things happening off the court or, you know, pistols or things of that sort, all these political conversations around that subject matter. I don't need to hear any of that. I want to see Ja Morant be the electric, prolific player that I saw last night. I want to see him win in the game of life and him get his team to the playoffs despite them not having Steven Adams, despite them not having Brandon Clark, despite them not having, you know, other big-time players on this team to help them get there where he's at, because that's the player who he deserves to be. So, you know, in the game of basketball, I used to keep receipts of writers. Seth Davis, who is my friend now, I had his name plastered on my wall about I was going to be a top NBA draft pick, or I had all these issues. Whatever Ja Morant needs to do to get there, if that's you, Stephen A. Smith, and how you felt about, you know, the punitive decisions around his suspension, if that's me, I don't give a damn. Whoever it is, whatever keeps Ja Morant to make the right decisions in his life off the court to keep him hungry and incentivized to be that beast that we saw last night, whatever it needs to do for him to be the player he was, please, Ja Morant, keep all the receipts in the world, because the game of basketball has missed you. Doggy, this dude has a chance to be the face of the NBA.
Well, he's a great player.
His talent jumps absolutely off the page more than anybody I've seen in the game of basketball today. That's my decision. I love watching him play every possession. So if that's what he needs to use as fuel to get him there, please, by all means, Ja Morant, keep all the receipts you need, bro.
But he's making it sound like they didn't do anything wrong.
But it's fine.
He got suspended twice, and he lied.
He didn't say he didn't do anything wrong.
Well, I mean, when you say I'm keeping receipts,
yes,
that's an indication that you got wronged by people in the NBA.
No,
he didn't get wronged. He got suspended twice, and he lied to the commissioner. And he got 25 games.
I don't think that's an indication that he got wronged. I just think that's how athletes are built, doggy. Like, we can do things wrong, and when the whole world seems against you, when you're by yourself, you don't get calls from former players checking in on you. That's your natural like feeling and vibe to have. That's how you compete. It's always you against the world. I'm not saying it's right.
Can I say one thing, Doggy? To your point, I get what you're saying. Like, it's self-inflicted. You weren't the victim in this. But in the same breath, if he's using it as fuel and motivation, good for him.
He should use the idea that he put his team in a bad way. He's got himself in some trouble twice, and he should look at this as a way to resurrect his career and play great basketball. He should not look at this, I'm keeping receipts. Receipts from who? What, because somebody didn't call you? Because a player didn't call you saying, you know what, I feel bad. How you doing? First of all, we don't know if that's accurate or not. He's telling us, but we don't know this. You're telling me not one player, not one teammate, not one coach, not one broadcaster, not a college. You're telling me nobody called him in the last 25 days?
No, he didn't say his teammate, though, Doggy. He wasn't talking about his teammate because he was with his teammates. He was allowed to be with his teammates.
That's so
he wasn't talking about
okay.
that. Yeah.
You tell me not one player in the league, not one.
Yeah, that's
guy.
What he
Dylan
said.
Brooks,
that's
Houston.
What he. That, that's what
called.
He said.
Do you
that,
believe
that's
that?
That's what he said.
Do you believe
I'm
that?
A split. Listen. I'm gonna take him at his word. If he said nobody called him, he said nobody called him. I mean, why would I think he's lying? I mean, why lie about that? If that's what he says. I believe him. But I will say this to you: I'm gonna split the baby down the middle per se, Jay Williams. I do understand where Doggy is coming from as it pertains to the media. The fact of the matter is that. We didn't know anything about what happened. If you want to blame anybody, keep receipts for your boys who stupidly put you on Instagram Live to put you in that position. That wasn't our fault. That wasn't the media's fault. That was his boy's fault. So let's get that out the way. How the hell, Jay, you doing something and I'm your boy and I'm going to put it on Instagram Live while you doing it, but then I'm going to turn around and look at other people. No, that's your crew. That's who did that, number one. Number two, let me tell you where I hope and pray he holds, and this is not about me, but I hope he holds me accountable and he keeps receipts for me. This is what I want Ja Morant to keep receipts about me, Jay. When that brother was getting blown out by 40 in the first round closeout game to the Lakers, and they were on the bench laughing. That's what I want him to keep receipts for. See, the other stuff is just news. It's the news. It's what happened. Adam Silver had to come down with the hammer. We heard reports about how you told the commissioner one thing, you lied to his face, and then came out and violated his trust, which is why he brought down the hammer with the 25-game suspension. That's news. We got to do our jobs. That's it. What I'm saying is I'm sitting baseline at the Crypto.com Arena, a name that I still despise saying, by the way. I'm going to say Staples Center, but that's neither here nor there. Okay? I'm sitting courtside, and the Lakers are up by damn near 40. In a closeout game because Dylan Brooks had agitated LeBron James. LeBron James goes out there, puts on the show. Anthony Davis and Hachimura and the crew did their thing, and they are annihilating the Memphis Grizzlies. And that superstar for the Memphis Grizzlies was sitting on a bench with a smile on his face, laughing. It wasn't funny. It was embarrassing. That's what I want him to hold us accountable. Now, the players, your contemporaries in the league, if they didn't check on you, that's kind of shady because it's a brotherhood and, damn, you're going through a lot. It would have been nice for them to call him in a whole bit. That's fine. Yeah. He's going to go up against them on the basketball court. But in terms of the media, oh, yes, I hope he holds it. Because, see, I want them to know this, Jay. Somebody like me, especially somebody like me, when I go to games, I watch all of that. I watch your body language. I watch how you communicating. I watch what your mentality is. Remember when the Lakers, Doggy, three-peated? And they three-peated, and then they went against San Antonio and Tim Duncan and them romped them? Do you remember that Kobe Bryant and Shaquille O'Neal were on the bench crying? Do you remember that?
Yeah,
Kobe
sure
had
do.
Tears running down his face. Remember when Michael Irvin had to stand on the sidelines in Philadelphia when they were being mocked and his career was coming to an end, and he saw how trashy, that's not a word, but I'm using it, how much trash the Dallas Cowboys were at that particular moment in time. he was on the sideline crying. Why? Because he knew he was surrounded with teammates that didn't care nearly as much as him. See, that's what we look for. It's not just about your performance in between the lines. It's about the attitude you bring to it. I remember Jay Will, all right, at Duke. When you win a national champion, you win a player of the year. You were a dog, bro. You came out there, wherever you had an attitude. You think you got attitude with me when you debating on the air some damn times? Go back and watch Jay Williams play it. The brother had attitude walking into arena after arena. I'm here to bust y'all living, you know what? I don't give a damn how y'all feel about it. That's what we're looking for. That's the Ja Morant we saw last night. And that's who we want to see moving forward. I don't want to see no smiles when you get your ass kicked. I want to see attitude. I want to see that dude saying, I'm going to bust y'all, you living, you know what? Y'all better ask somebody who the hell I am. You must have forgot. That's what I want to see from Ja Morant. And that's what we saw last night. And it is special.
I agree. Doggy, I just want to make sure I'm clarifying. Do you think he was playing the victim last night?
A little bit. Yeah,
really?
A little bit. I'm taking receipts. Hold on now. You're the one who got yourself in trouble. Taking receipts from what exactly? Go score, win the game, and that's the end of it. I don't know why you got to put attention to yourself. I'm taking receipts. He put himself in trouble, did he not? That was his fault, was it?
Let me give you some insight real quick on just being a former player. Number one, not a politician. It doesn't absolve me from saying the right things or understanding how to say the right things. But obviously, my skill set is to play the game of basketball at a very high level. I haven't spent 20 years in front of a camera understanding how to talk to, abide to everybody, what they need me to be. And not making an excuse at all. But number two, you never see me gloat about things that I've accomplished, right? Like as a former player, you know, like, oh, I was two-time. You don't say things like that. I remember my losses way more than I remember my championships.
Absolutely, yeah.
I can go back and tell you about the time that we lost to, you know, my freshman year lost to Florida, and Florida ends up losing to Michigan State in the championship game. I can tell you my junior year, by the time, you know, we lose to IU, I miss a free throw to end my college career. IU loses to Maryland in the championship game, a team we beat twice that year, right? I remember my losses way more than I remember my wins. So a lot of times athletes, the way we're built, is the knocks that we have, even though they may be warranted, they may be accurate, because maybe it's hard for me to deal with youth and fame and power and all this stuff. I didn't make all the maturity decisions because you're watching me grow in front of your eyes. But I remember those things because those things motivate me to be better on the court and to be a better person. So I think that just to try to help you relate to Ja, I don't think it was playing victim. I think just that's just how athletes are naturally built. We remember where we went wrong more so than where we went right. You know what I mean?
But shouldn't he be just motivated by the fact he hasn't played in 25 games and his team is 6-19?
I think that's what he was talking about.
He brought up receipts, which
indicates
that.
Because that means shots from everybody, shots from people. Shot some people on his character, who he wants to be, shots on his family. It may be warranted. It doesn't mean he can't use that as motivation, though. That's what I think he means by receipts.
Jay, I let me say this.
You think I'm wrong, Stephen A?
Yes.
Really?
I'm going to tell you. Let me explain why. You're not wrong with what you're saying. You're right. I apologize. You're right. But you're wrong to be the one saying it. Because very few people call out players more than you.
Oh, I caught
in terms of their behavior. So what I'm saying to you is that what Doggy says, I'm saying, falls in line with what you usually say. If you look at you when players transgress and they do stuff that gets in the way of their own success, and I'm not saying you're wrong for doing it. Mm-hmm. I'm just simply saying this morning, what you're explaining, when I heard Doggy's point, I thought, you would agree with it because I'm accustomed to seeing you do it. So I get your point. You're not wrong with what you're articulating. But even in the process of articulating what you just did, Jay Williams, you're the one who's usually in the front of the line saying, yo, man, y'all got to do better. This is about life. What about your behavior? This is how you conduct yourself. We don't want to hear this, this, and that. All Doggy is saying to me is what you usually say. That's all I'm saying.
No, but he didn't say names.
No, I know that. I'm just talking about the principle. I think both things can be true.
I think you both can be right.
Doggy's just a little more
old school with it. Like, come out, do your thing. Don't make it about other people. And you're just saying use anything as motivation. So I think it's just a difference of opinion, but you both can be absolutely right. And listen, if this is a sign of things to come, game winning buzzer beater, 34 points, things are going in the right direction.
And he's a great player. He's going
to
do this.
When you do things to get in the way of your own success as an athlete.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Jay Williams is usually at the front of the line calling that out. And you're not wrong. I'm not chiding you for it.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah.
I'm just saying it's what you do.
I want to get to some football.
That's what Doggy was talking about.
On a lighter note, Stephen A., did you see my suit? Did you see this?
I just
want to make sure you saw my suit. Just making sure.
I can't
and
see but
necklace.
So much from here. Is it a little spark? Is it a little sparkle? Is that true?
A bit of like I mean,
so in other words, instead of calling you butt,
instead of calling you butt, is just my natural sparkle.
That's not a natural sparkle. No, that's not true. But the point is that just instead of Black Widow, you saying it, you know, you sibling of the late great Michael Jackson. Is that what you do?
I mean, I'll take that.
Sparkling black? Is that what you do?
I'm just saying.
Jay, you can see it clearer more than me, Jay.
Where's the silver glove?
Yeah. Where's the white glove, Molly? Where's the white glove?
The glove.
I do need gloves.
That's a beautiful outfit. And a very nice.
Don't say
you like the cross.
I do. Very nice cross.
It's good.
Yeah. That's right.
Okay. Settle down, Tiger. I need to lighten the mood a little. Okay,
yes.
Stephen A.,
okay.
You and your imitations. The only good one you have is the West Indian accent because you're actually West Indian.
Actually, I imitate a lot of people very well, which my sisters would tell you.
You do?
Like who?
Now, let me get started with you.
Who?
Let's go. Let's move on.
Yeah, we've already seen you do the walk. Let's talk football.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes, catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So whoever's up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-time chimney sweepers, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, you name it, they won't find a satellite dish, but you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit directtv.com to sign up today. Claim based on the total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Thanks so much for listening to the First Take Pod. Have a fabulous day.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes. So they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome. So you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take Podcast. Shopping for Mother's Day is always a challenge because you wait until the last minute. But Macy's Gift Finder makes it incredibly fast and easy to find the right gift just in time for Mother's Day, whether you're shopping for your sister's first Mother's Day or your fashionista mom who loves to make a statement. Macy's Gift Finder has so many great gift ideas that you can easily pick out something special to celebrate them both. You can shop by price, anywhere from $25 and under to $100 and under. You can also sort by categories like fragrance, handbags, and more. Or gift lists, like for the mom who has everything. Pre-wrapped gifts or gifts for grandma. Find top brands like Studio Pro Model Beats headphones, Polaroid cameras, Samsung smart TVs. So what are you waiting for? Mother's Day's May 12th, and it'll be here before you know it. Macy's has the perfect gift guide to make picking something for mom easy this year. Head to Macy's.com/giftfinder today. That's Macy's.com/giftfinder. Thanks so much for listening to the pod and have a fabulous day.
All right, so the 49ers, Cowboys, Eagles have already clinched their spots in the playoffs, but their spots are not set. So with the fight for the one seed coming down to the end of the season, Mad Dog.
Yep.
I want to know this. Which NFC quarterback do you want the most? Oh, look who's here. There he is.
Hey,
hey,
my buddy.
Swaggo.
Back in the house.
Swaggo, we miss you.
I didn't get that kind of greeting from Mad Dog.
Hey,
I didn't get that kind of greeting from Mad Dog.
I haven't seen you.
Hey, man, nobody talking to you. Nobody talking to you right now. Let Molly talk to me.
Yeah, yeah.
Let her talk to me. Nobody's talking to you.
Excuse me.
It's like that.
Sam Tanucci is going to kill me.
Yeah, because you interjected on my love.
Hey, Stephen A., did you hear about Marcus's daughter? Swaggo.
What about
family's the real deal. Family is the real deal. Congratulations.
Stephen A., and Molly, question for you.
Yeah.
Molly Q.
Yeah.
Did you bring a playbill for MJ on Broadway tonight? You in that thing?
You're ridiculous. No. And I don't want to hear anything about I have a date or any of this nonsense from any of you.
How did that go, by the way, at the Christmas tree
light? I just wanted to dress well for the show.
Oh, you're going to Michael Jackson tonight.
What are you guys
Molly living that good
about?
Life? There is a certain glow. You know, have to be orange. It don't have to be orange swaggoo, but I see it.
It's a glow.
It's a glow.
Mm. Yeah,
fluid.
Okay.
All right, like it's the glow you're gonna have.
She don't want nobody to believe
on,
it, but
on General
she
Hospital.
Don't want nobody to believe it. But this wardrobe has leveled up. This wardrobe has leveled up.
It's all right. Let's move on. Let's get the food.
It's hydrated.
It is hydrated. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Never thirsty, always hungry. Okay, Mad Dog.
Yes.
Which NFC quarterback, you like that, do you want most in this stretch run?
I'm still going to take Hurts. You know, Purdy, when Samuel and Trent Williams are out, they only averaged 17 points a game and they lost 3 playoff games. Prescott, although it wasn't his fault on Sunday in Buffalo, wasn't exactly great. And Hurts threw 2 bad interceptions the other day. The first one should have been a pass interference in Seattle. But that was a bad play at the end. He looked a little healthier running the ball. He got to a Super Bowl last year. I love his toughness and all that. I will still say Hurts. Not as confident as I would say 2 or 3 weeks ago. But, again, I know Purdy's had a tremendous year. These Joe Montana comparisons, we'll get to that a little later on, to me is a little overreaching. And Prescott, I know they're 3-4 on the road, and they've beaten garbage all year long. Carolina, the Giants, Washington, the Chargers. Cowboys don't have a big win except for Philadelphia at home. So I'm going to say Hurts, one in Kansas City. Did a good job there last year, got to a Super Bowl. I understand he's been banged up, and I understand the Eagles aren't playing very well right now. And I'm a little worried about him at times. He's not as good as he was. But I'm going to take Hurts as the guy that I have the most confidence with in the NFC, myself.
Swag.
Yep, I hear you, Mad Dog, and I feel you. I'm going to take Dak Prescott. I think Dak Prescott over the totality of the season is the guy that I would have confidence in. I know the Buffalo game puts a stain on it, and obviously everybody likes to go back to the San Francisco game. But I've seen him play phenomenal football, almost at the highest level in the league. And we bring up competition, and that's the thing. But he also beat a Seattle team that we just saw Jalen Hurts and his team lose to. So, doggy, that kills that argument as far as between him and Jalen Hurts right now. The other thing is this. Like, when you think about the Dallas Cowboys and all of these quarterbacks that we're talking about, Brock Purdy obviously is playing the best when it comes to team success. He's playing the best, pushing the ball down the field, QBR, all of that type of stuff. But he's not the first person you think about when you think about the San Francisco 49ers. It's Dak Prescott when you come to the Dallas Cowboys and any level of success to their offense. And I think he's been personally responsible for the success of this offense more than anybody else. So I'm going to go with Dak Prescott in this conversation, even though Brock Purdy is a hard, hard argument and shouldn't be dismissed. But Dak Prescott for me.
Well, you're wrong. You're wrong. No surprise there. You're going up against me. We understand this. You're a former Dallas Cowboy.
You're going with Brock Purdy.
We understand. I'm
it's
going
to be Brock Purdy.
Okay. Of course it is. Yeah, all right. Yeah, league leader. Okay. Excuse me. Among the league leaders in passing against pressure with 56% completions, 10 TDs. Okay. Mm-hmm. Let's go through some of these numbers with Brock Purdy. All right. He's number one in yards per attempt. Leads the NFL. He's number two behind Tua in pass yards and completion percentage of 69.8. He's number one in TD passes with 29. His passer rating leads the NFL at 119. By the way, that 119, only 2 quarterbacks in NFL history had a higher passer rating than that. That was Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. Aaron Rodgers did it twice, by the way. He's a bad man, okay? We got to take that into consideration. Then we got to take into consideration his performances against Super Bowl contenders, would be the Cowboys and the Eagles. Both games, he dropped 42 points on them. Both games, he blew them out. He completed 70% of his passes, averaged about 283 yards, 8 touchdowns, not a single interception. Let's throw that out there, okay? This is what we're talking about here right now. In terms of game managers, let's take that into consideration. 62% completions with 10 touchdown passes against only one interception on deep passes. What are we talking about here? We look at the San Francisco 49ers. We got them as the best team in football. We understand Christian McCaffrey is an MVP candidate. We know what Debo is. We'll even lament a couple of games how Purdy looked without Trent Williams and Debo in the lineup because they were hurt. But what we can't take away from is when all their horses are there, what this man has been doing. They're clearly the best team in football. He's clearly leading the pack in that regard. You got the greatest wide receiver in the history of football saying that he resembles Joe Montana. Might be going a bit too far, but damn, if it's Jerry Rice, ain't he qualified to give that kind of evaluation? This is the greatest wide receiver in the history of football. And so I'm saying to you, when you take all of that into consideration, combined with the team and the success it's reaped because of his greatness. When we just saw Dak Prescott get beat down and bum rushed in Buffalo, okay? When we saw it happen to him against Purdy in San Francisco, when we saw what happened to Hurts in Philadelphia, by the way, against Purdy, who was hurt during the NFC Championship game, adding fodder to the notion that the San Francisco 49ers are the ones that should have been in the Super Bowl last year instead of the Philadelphia Eagles if they had had a quarterback, because no team in history had lost all four quarterbacks in one season like they did in Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo, Purdy, and then Johnson. There's no question that we got to look at them right now. We got to look at somebody like Purdy. When we're asking the specific question about NFC quarterbacks, he's clearly above what you got available.
Question. I got a question.
Sure.
I got a question. Because you make a great argument. Stephen A., who do you think should be the MVP for the San Francisco 49ers? What player on that team you think should be the MVP of the league?
Me personally, I would say Christian McCaffrey. Personally.
And also, when we start talking about the San Francisco 49ers, and Brock Purdy is obviously creeping into that, where is he on your list of individual players that affects the game more than anybody else on that team?
I know he plays quarterback. Let me answer. I would say Christian McCaffrey, Debo, and Kyle Shanahan's play calling. Here's the problem.
Right.
I saw what they look like without them. When Brock Purdy ain't in the lineup, San Francisco don't look the same. That's why he's an MVP candidate. Yep. Despite the success that Kyle Shanahan has had with numerous quarterbacks, none of them, not Lance, not Garoppolo, not Mullins, not Johnson, not anybody, nobody in Kyle Shanahan's era in San Francisco has looked like Brock Purdy. Am I lying?
You're not lying. You're not lying at all. And I think that's – but I think – go ahead, Mad Dog. I see you want to say something.
Two things.
I'm going to make a point
out. For some reason, Steve's not doing the math right. Three of the games this year, no Williams, no Samuel. They lost all three games, and they averaged 17 points a game. Now, hold on now.
He also completed 70% of his passes twice.
Steven.
You said I got my math wrong.
I am not finished.
Let Mad Dog talk.
A quarterback is supposed to raise the level of his team when there are injuries and tough moments. He didn't have two of his players. They lost at Minnesota, Cleveland, and Cincinnati. And as far as you're concerned, Swagoo, the Cowboys are 3-4 on the road. They've won one good game all year, and that was the Eagles at home. Other than that, they have played garbage. Yep. Carolina, Washington, Giants twice. San Diego, they have beaten nobody. The Chargers, they have beaten nobody. And Hurts won in Kansas City and got to a Super Bowl last year. And you guys want to
don't bring up last year. Don't do that. Don't bring up last year.
We're talking about this season.
And let me tell you something, Doggy. Doggy got that smirk on his face because he know I caught him lying. You know you're in a world of trouble. You brought up the Kansas City game. If Marquez Valdes-Scantling doesn't drop a surefire touchdown pass in his arms, do the Kansas City Chiefs not win that game? Philadelphia should have lost that game. Okay? By the way, Philadelphia's lost three straight. By the way, albeit because he's not been healthy, he's been hobbling. Did they lose to the New York Jets? Did it hurt struggle this year as great as we know he can be?
We don't have to go through that. I got a better one. I have a better one. Because Mad Dog killed his argument about Hurts while he was trying to kill mine about Dak Prescott. Mad Dog, just recently, 2 weeks ago, who did Dak Prescott beat?
They split. They went 1-1. All right, they beat the Eagles.
I did not ask you that. I asked you 2 weeks ago, who did Dak Prescott beat?
He beat Philly. Beat the Philly defense.
Okay. After that game, who did he beat?
Prescott, after they beat Philly,
who did he beat? Before that game, who did he beat? The Seattle Seahawks, right?
Yes, he did. November 30th.
With Geno Smith, who is the starter. All right.
Correct.
So you just sat on television and told me that you're going to take Jalen right now, because we're not talking about the Super Bowl. I think me and Stephen A have established that. You just said that you're going to take Jalen Hurts over the quarterback that just beat him 2 weeks ago lost to the team that Dak beat before they played Philly.
Well, hold on now.
That
Philly
part
was
of your argument is
horrible. Philly was in Seattle. Seattle played at Dallas. It's a big difference. Dak Prescott's got 3 wins on the road. He got ambushed in San Francisco. He got annihilated in Buffalo.
Why would you bring up the first game against Philly, which was in Philly, that Dallas lost? Why does that apply to Philly going to damn Seattle and it don't apply to Dallas going to have to play Philly at home?
Dallas and Philly are a wash. They both won in each stadium. You can't use the one in Dallas and not talk about the one in Philly and Seattle. You don't think Seattle is a different
home? You just used it. I'm saying this because of what you said.
Who have they beaten this year? Let's do Prescott for a minute. Who is Prescott
Philly
beaten this
Seattle.
Year? Give me a good win. Who?
Philly and Seattle. And
Seattle
just
not
beat
that
the
good.
Team that you're saying.
Seattle's that good?
Well, man, though, why you put it in the argument when you was talking about Philly then? Why did you put it in the argument?
One argument, you lost me. No argument. Dallas and Philly split.
Man,
Seattle lost at Dallas. Prescott played great. Philly played in Seattle. Hurts was spotty.
Let me interject.
Question is, who do I trust more in a big
ahead,
game? Trust Hurts.
Hold it. You just made an argument against Swagoo about the level of competition Dak Prescott beat. Because we know that most of the teams they beat were mired in last place.
Correct.
Well, let me show you who Brock Purdy has beaten. He's beaten the Rams, okay? He's beaten the Cowboys, okay? He's beaten Jacksonville. He's beaten Tampa.
Dallas beat the Rams.
He's beaten Seattle. He's beaten Philly. He's beaten Seattle again. So he's beat Dallas, Philly, okay, and the Rams, okay?
Right.
Blew Dallas and Philly out.
Yes,
beat up the Rams, too.
Right.
Beat
right.
Seattle twice.
Right.
Excuse me. What are you talking about? So, in other words, the level of competition, Dak Prescott, that's what you're holding against him. But you don't want to give credit to Brock Purdy for the competition he's beating.
Well, how about the 3 games that Purdy didn't have his whole arsenal of offense? How'd they play?
Okay.
I'm with you there.
Listen.
I'm with you there.
One
Man,
game.
No, I'm with you there.
Excuse me. Two of those games, he completed 70% of his passes.
Steve,
the one game he played bad was against Cleveland.
Steve, they averaged 17 points in the 3 losses. If he's that great,
see
how
these
come
numbers,
he didn't do better?
See these numbers?
Steve.
Stephen A, you better than that. You better than that.
I'm better than that.
You better than that.
I'm better than that. Y'all both better stand down. You know I'm right. I got the numbers right here.
Hey. Swagoo, Steve.
You are sitting here talking about a 70%. I'm sorry. You slick. You a slick one, man. You a slick one.
I'm pretty damn good.
Dak Prescott would have had 70% completion percentage and averaged 17 points and lost 3 games in a row. You would have strutted your tail in that.
Excuse me. I'm not making an argument against Dak Prescott.
This is like that SNL skit they did of us, Stephen A. We have gone, seriously, 36 minutes without a commercial break.
We got to get one in?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
He is making a lot of money.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy everything.
You know what?
Let's go.
I don't like the attitude Molly's
Steve,
giving me right now. I'm
going to
eat some oatmeal.
Good.
I don't like
eat
her attitude
oatmeal.
Right now.
You
I'm
need some fiber.
Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. When you're on a business trip, you know what goes completely off the rails? Your workout routine. Especially when you book a hotel that doesn't have a gym. So what ends up happening is you do a few push-ups, sit-ups in your room, run around the block, or you just skip it entirely. Lame. If you just stay at La Quinta by Wyndham, you'll discover there's a fully equipped fitness center at every location. Now you can wake up, power your buys, your tries the right way, or de-stress with a little cardio. The choice is yours. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5X miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. In partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Steph Curry and the Warriors overcame a 17-point deficit to beat the Celtics in overtime. Steph led the way, 33 points, 20 of which came in the fourth quarter in OT, despite having 5 fouls the entire game. Real recognize real folks. Here's Shaq on Steph Curry.
I'm wondering, not saying, I'm just wondering, because he's been consistently the best shooter his whole career. I'm wondering, is it time to start putting him as the best player of all time?
Best player?
I'm gonna say.
Over, you put him over you?
In the conversation.
I'm asking you.
Yes.
You put him over you. You yourself
way
put
better.
Steph Curry
yes.
over you.
Yeah, this is why he's my favorite player.
I'm not saying favorite. He might be my favorite too, but I'm just asking you think he's better than you.
I played 20 years, watched 20 years before that. I've never seen a guy like him. And he's doing it consistently, and he has championships.
You put him
Maybe
over Michael.
Time, No, I'm not putting him anywhere. I'm saying,
okay,
you know, for all the chitter chatter, is it time to just put him in the conversation?
It's like what Stephen A. needs to do. Molly, I put best dressed ahead you ahead of me. But.
It won't happen.
We'll take it to the streets. Jay Will, is Steph worthy of GOAT consideration?
First off, you know, it's funny when you have this conversation, I think you have to preface it by saying, if you don't say that Steph is not the GOAT, then you're not diminishing his greatness overall. To me, Steph, after winning a championship 2 years ago, finals MVP, I think he cracked the top 10 all-time greatest in my book. To say the GOAT conversation, there are 3 to 4 players in the GOAT conversation. If you want to put Bill Russell in that conversation, because ultimately the championships, I can respect that. He wouldn't be in mine, but I would have the likes of Michael Jordan, LeBron James, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. If you want to tinker with Kobe being right there, I respect that. I know Kenny was talking about that last night. But to me, in that upper echelon, I have those 3 players with Kobe kind of right on the outside looking in. To me, that is the GOAT conversation. I think it's more relevant to have a conversation around Steph Curry being top 10 greatest of all time after what he's done over the last several years. That's me. I don't think that diminishes his greatness, Stephen A. That's not a slight to Steph. Steph is my favorite, one of my favorite players to watch in NBA history. I think he's one of the best point guards to ever play the time. If you want to say he's the best point guard ever to play the game over Magic, that's fine. You can say that. I still would take Magic. But when you're talking about the best player to GOAT conversation, you are complete in so many aspects of the game. And I still think Steph, him being fairly above average as a defender, when I look at players like Kobe, when I look at players like MJ, like Bron, like Cap, different level defensively.
Jay Williams, with all due respect, that soliloquy was unnecessary. You don't
it was
have to,
very
you don't
necessary
have to,
for me you don't to defend
have,
my
You don't
point.
Have to apologize. You don't have to apologize for it. You don't have to sit up there and couch and hedge everything. No, he's the GOAT. He's not the GOAT. He's not the greatest of all time. You know, when you talk about the greatest of all time, you talk about Michael Jordan, you talk about LeBron James, you talk about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in my estimation, period.
Yeah.
Having said that, the real question is, does he warrant the consideration? The answer is yes. Not as a defender. We know what we know he's suspect as a defender. But does he warrant consideration? It's very, very simple. He is the greatest shooter God has ever created. And we're not talking about somebody. And here's where I keep trying to crystallize this for people, Jay, just so you know. Of course, Magic Johnson is the greatest point guard ever, quintessential point guard. But if you're talking about impact from the point guard position, you can have that debate about Steph Curry or Magic Johnson. Because, Doggy, what I'm talking about, don't break down the abilities. I'm talking about impact. When you look at Steph Curry's ability to move without the basketball and how it has defenders' heads on a swivel, from the moment he steps past half court, think about the fright, the fear that instills in an opposing defense. This brother can pull up from 10, 20, 30, 40. We've seen him shoot from 50. And I'm talking about, I ain't talking about some Hail Mary launch. I'm talking about pull up. This brother is ridiculous. And when I look at it from that perspective, that's when I say, of course he's not my GOAT because he's on the other side of the ball. He's average at best defensively. I take all of that into consideration. But when I think impact, somebody saying that about him, doesn't make me say, that's just stupid, that's insulting. My answer would be no, but I understand where it comes from.
Oh, come on.
What? Wait, you just gave the same soliloquy I did.
Yeah, exactly.
It was quicker.
That wasn't that.
It was quicker.
You added nothing.
I can't with you.
You added nothing.
I can't with you.
First off, we got to hear Shaq now do this. Shaq what? Is, what, the fifth best center in the history of the NBA? Fifth.
What?
Shaq. What do you mean, what?
Well, who's the four ahead of Shaquille O'Neal? Have you lost your damn mind?
What?
You want me to name
him? Sure, go ahead.
Kareem.
Okay.
Yeah. Will.
No.
I'm not giving it to Will.
No, you guys are crazy. No.
You're not giving it to Will.
No.
You're not going to put Will Chamberlain, who averaged 50 points a game and scored 100 a game in 30 minutes.
Who was a foot taller than 99% of the league?
Oh, yes. The most dominant player in NBA history. Who was stopping Shaquille O'Neal in any era?
And who's Tim Duncan is better than he is. Tim Duncan's better. And I tell you something, two other guys.
That's not a center. Tim Duncan's powerful.
Well, Elijah Wan is better. Who beat him four
straight
games.
Two-time champion, Shaq's four.
Shaq's
no scoring
four.
Titles to Shaq's two. What are you talking about?
And I tell you, somebody else who's better. You can live where you want.
I love Akeem, but he wants Shaq.
Oh, he's a better player than Shaq. Oh, God, he's better.
First off, he played Shaq and beat him four straight games. Define me better player. Tell me what better player means to you, doggy. I'm waiting for the definition, please.
Okay, first off, who did Shaq beat in the NBA final in the pivot?
It's not about who you beat.
Well, yes, it is. He beat Jason Collins, Rick Smits, and who was Philly's center?
Dikembe Mutombo.
And I'll tell you right now.
Dikembe Mutombo.
He's not better than Moses Malone.
What?
There's no chance. Don't give me that
Oh,
what.
My Lord, why are you
no
allowed
way.
To talk basketball? Why
he
are you? I love Moses Malone. Elite
you think,
rebounder.
You think Shaq? You think Shaq?
Moses Malone was not Shaq.
Help. Not a chance.
And he was great, but he wasn't Shaq.
Help, Lord.
Malone led the league in rebounding
help.
Six
so
consecutive
what?
Years.
For help
so
for
what?
He won two MVPs.
So did Rodman.
Oh, you're nuts.
So did Rodman.
Here's a
is
question
he better
for
than
you.
Shaq?
Here's a question for you. What did Malone do with a bunch of cast-offs against Bird, Parrish, and McHale in the 81 finals? I looked it up today. 31 and a half and 17 rebounds.
Nobody
the
is saying Moses Malone is a Hall
36
of
Famer.
Moses Malone is a Hall of Famer.
In all the NBA finals, 37 to 15.
Jay, did he play a great center in the NBA finals?
But now you're going to use it against him
because
of who he's playing against. It doesn't matter who he would play against.
Yes, it does.
Are you kidding me?
Yes, it does. I'll give you another one. May I? I'm not done yet. I have another one. May I? Look at me, Steven. Quickly, when Bird won, you guys don't give Bird enough credit. When Bird won the 84 championship and he beat the Lakers,
You know the Lakers had 6 Hall of Famers on their roster, including their coach?
What Kareem, the hell did he have?
Magic, Wilkes, Cooper, Worthy,
what
and
about
McAdoo.
Dennis Johnson? What about Robert Parrish? What about McHale?
Oh, fine.
What about
Ainge?
What are you talking about?
Magic and Bird. You didn't let me finish.
Oh, my God.
And how many Hall of Famers?
You're not allowed to talk basketball.
Title? How many? What?
I'm putting you on punishment for talking basketball on this show for a week.
You're
not allowed. You're not allowed. You are crazy.
I can't take anything he says
seriously
anymore.
One other thing. Malone was on the probably top 3 or 4 teams, anchored it in the history of the
Malone
NBA.
Malone was great.
The 82-83 Sixers were an all-time classic
Moses
team.
Malone. Shaq, Malone.
Okay, listen.
Moses Malone was phenomenal.
I'm enjoying this history lesson,
Shaq.
But I got to go.
You're telling me Shaq's not the most dominant player to ever play the game.
He didn't have the centers that these other guys played up against. Kareem's playing against great centers.
Debate's over. Coming up on a fresh round with the Dolphins.
Will's playing against Russell. You guys are crazy. Oh, my God. I don't even have Shaq in my top 10. You may continue.
A lot of exciting things are coming up. You wouldn't know, but they are.
You are built differently.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.